and welcome to the Studio Mala podcast. Joining me and Sean.
Yeah, that's me as well, yeah.
Today on the podcast is Olga.
Hello.
A compositor who's been with Studio Mala since pretty early on, fair to say.
Yeah, pretty much since the start.
Yeah, I think even before the start, like
like
a proto
Agony Ant. Yeah, before it was confirmed. Yeah,
we can go into that soon. Thanks for joining us, Olga. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Is it our first or second time having a comp artist on? Is it the first time? I'm worried about saying the first time in case I've. Oh, we had Evan.
Well, say it, but then make sure when the next comp artist comes on that you say it again.
Maybe every time. Yeah, okay, I'll start doing that. Even for people that aren't comp artists, I'll just be saying, and you're the first comp artist.
I think before we go any further, we gotta say it. What on earth is a compositor?
That's the question really everyone asks.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, basically every time I'm like, you know, they're like, well, oh, so what'd you work in? I'm like, oh, compositor. And it's like, no one has a clue what that is, you know?
Yeah.
So pretty much people get confused. They're like, oh, like, do you make music or, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, nope. Yeah, basically compositing is one of the last steps in the production. So what we do is we take all the assets, so the backgrounds and the animation, and we combine them. So we kind of we have the finished product nearly of what it's going to look like. So loads of organizing, and then we do a bit of you know, fixing a little bit as well. If there's anything that's, you know, needs correcting, we are the last ones to do it. And then we do a bit of enhancing, so we add shadows and, you know, the lighting, all that, and camera moves. So a lot of things.
Yeah, like, I guess, would it be fair to say just any final bells and whistles are usually added at compositing as well? Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, for example, in live action, they'd be the ones that, you know, the green screen, they'd have to be the ones editing the green screen to be, like, I don't know, the North Pole or something.
Yeah.
And then you have to make it look like the person in front of it actually looks like they're there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think you covered it pretty well. I mean, I have trouble. I do feel sorry for you that you have to explain it all the time to people constantly, because, like, I've talked to plenty of people where it only comes up in conversation every now and then, where, you know, I'll mention, oh, you know, there's a comp artist who's in next week, and then I'll get the question, what's that? And I always panic and I don't know what to say. It's kind of, you know, it's like if you kind of put stuff together, and, like, whenever I say put stuff together, people just go like, are you not doing that and all the other things? I'm like, well, yeah, but it's like, so.
I know, it's really complicated. It's complicated, you know, but it's hard, because whenever, like, even family members, they're like, so what's your job?
It's hard enough telling them that you work in cartoons, but, like...
Yeah, it's already hard enough. Like, even in animation, it's really funny, because, you see, I'm half Irish, half Spanish. So half my family's in Spain, right? Mm-hmm. And when you say animation, they don't even know what that is, because the word for animation in Spanish is the same word for cheerleading.
Excuse me? Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So if you say, you know, I'm an animator, they think either you're cheerleading or you're, like, at children's birthday parties. Then you have to explain that. And then you have to be like, okay, so it's not that, it's making cartoons. But then on top of that, it's compositing, which is really hard to explain.
I'm very curious about the etymology.
How did that happen?
I suppose cheerleaders are animated. They are...
Yeah.
They are, motion, like, look over here. I'm like, you know, when people say that, look at that person, they're so animated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so. Like that, pretty much. It's the word for, like, cheering.
Right. So, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's, I guess, like, reanimate, like, life would mean bringing someone back to life as well. So it just means doing something, like, with, like, a lively...
Oh, this is excellent. Yeah. Finally, people are going to have to be forced to admit that they learned something listening to the Studio Mala podcast.
So
yeah, they learned
your
something.
Your family on your Spanish side all think you're a cheerleader, and then your family on your Irish side think that you draw on cartoons, but then find out you don't actually draw, and then they get really confused.
Pretty much.
Okay, well.
Compositing is one of those areas which is obviously so vital, and is just another great example of a field of animation that a lot of people say when they're starting out or like interested in getting into animation won't think of first, because like I know most people just think either you draw well or not, and like that's the decider, and it's like, oh, if I want to get into cartoons, I just need to be able to draw Tom and Jerry 10,000 times, when of course you can contribute to animation in so many more ways. And I wish there was more exposure of the different alleyways of opportunity that there are for people to get involved.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I agree, because I never even heard of compositing either. Like, even when I went into animation, like I was in college, and even then, like, I think it took about 2 years or so until I heard about it. So yeah, like, you don't have to be drawing either to be in animation. So yeah, if anyone out there is listening and wants to do animation, but they can't, you know, they don't want to draw or they can't. Yeah, there's definitely loads of
it's
different jobs.
It really always comes across as a really satisfying part of the pipeline to me, you know. If there's someone who wanted to get into animation who's just really interested in the finished product and how films look, and you know, just the last thing that goes on screen, like there is definitely a great satisfaction to that, being the person to put the final touches and make, you know, make the film into the film, really. Because it's often like, you know, a whole team on a production, if the production's going on for a very long time and they've been working on it for weeks and months and they're starting to, like, you know, get a bit tired of the project, it's always when the first comped shot comes in that everyone's reminded, oh my God, I forgot we're making a thing. Like, it's going to look cool. So there's always, like, I hate to be too Disney about it, but there is always a nice kind of magic to seeing the first few composites of shots.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
like, everyone gets really excited whenever I put one up. So it's,
yeah, for sure. And like, it's weird because it is kind of, I guess, the most invisible, like, to the audience is probably the most invisible step. It would be nice if there was a way to kind of show it off as its own thing a bit more.
I imagine that, similar to editing, it's one of those fields where the better a job you do, the less chance there is of people noticing it. Like, if you did a terrible job, then it would probably stand out. But I always feel sorry for people working in those fields of, you know, like, really excellent sound design will often just not be noticed, or, you know, like I say, good editing and composition. Do you find yourself noticing particularly good or bad composite work in animation now that you work in it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do, because you know, once you've worked on so many scenes, you start getting an eye for it.
Yeah.
It's like how, you know, sometimes you're, oh my gosh, there's like an eyebrow missing in like one frame. That kind of thing. You notice it a lot, you know? Like the other day, actually, I was watching a show and I was like, oh my God, did the like ink and paint, you know, the color's missing, like, for one split second, but you notice it, you know?
Yeah.
So
there's a housemate of mine who I used to live with, who I always noticed, and this is before I like had that much like broad awareness of animation, if I was going to see a film with him, I'd hear him mutter, "That's badly comped." Every now and then, "That's badly comped." And I was like, "What the hell
That's
are
so
you talking
funny.
About?" But after a while, I started to notice it, and it is kind of hellish when like films are ruined for you, and you go, "Oh God." Like, I used to never notice bad green screen. I used to like I go back and see things that totally flew past me before and going, Jesus Christ, that looks terrible.
Yeah.
How did I never know?
I know, it's
that?
Like we have the eye now. Yeah. Like you can tell a lot, even like, for example, as well, like if something is low quality, like, you know, it's like, oh, that was drawn really tiny. And blown up. You can tell, you know, you're like, even, I mean, maybe when I was younger, I would have not noticed, but.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there was a period when, at least when I was, you know, 12 or 13, where I could watch like a 240p video and not notice the drop in quality. So I wonder if I've just been cursed by, like, I don't know, unlocking, like, knowing what a resolution is now. I'm like, now I know why that looks bad.
Yeah.
I imagine it's a field that is getting more complicated instead of easier, like, even with digital, because now that, you know, you've got special effects, you've got just so many moving parts all the time.
I mean, when you think back on, you know, the Disney cameras,
those gigantic rigs,
the huge ones, I mean, they had a few people working on it.
It's an interesting thing with, like, you know, how complicated it can be for comparisons these days, because in so many different areas, like, a few lines are starting to get blurred in different departments in different parts of the world or in different productions, and, you know, different things can be squeezed in different ways. If it's, you know, a studio wanting to save money in one way, or storyboards becoming animation, or you know, there's lots of conversations around that lately. But it can happen where, you know, compositing artists can be expected to do basically effects animation. Like, I've definitely met a few comp artists who are very hardline. Like, if anything seems even close to animating, I don't want to draw a single picture, or I'm throwing this file back in your face. And you do encounter people who do want to kind of add a few bells and whistles, a few extra ways. Like, because I guess technically masking something frame by frame is animating as well. So the lines can get blurred depending on the person or depending on the studio a little bit. But
yeah, you're right. Sometimes you have to do quite a bit of everything, like even you know, fixing backgrounds and fixing the character, like if the animation has to be changed a little bit. Sometimes you can do it in comp, so it's quite you can end up doing quite a few.
There's no department that gets the question, can you do this, more than like any other department. So you'll get people either in production or in animation or whatever going, is this a comp? Could comp do that maybe? Like, no one gets that question more. You know, it could be a background where it's like, oh, we want to change the color of every single chair for some reason. You know, it's a client note that comes in.
Yeah.
And you go like, should we get the background artist to go back and repaint that? Or is... And I like, it's like sliding into the compositor's office being like, can you do a thing?
They're like, please, sir. I know. Yes, I can have some comp. I know, it's because... sometimes even the background artist could be finished, and then...
Well, that's the other thing about... I guess that's the other curse of being a compositor in, like, a smaller studio, because, you know, if it's a studio where everyone there is full-time all the time, you know, the artist might be around to come in and fix something, but on something like some of the smaller projects we do, where we only have the team for the time that the project is, you know, active, it could be a case where... Mm-hmm. Something comes in that needs to be changed in the background, and there's no background artist anymore, so we have to figure out a clever way to do it. And that could be either, you know, one of the artists that's available, like, or even the director or yourself.
Like, it's easy if you're at the start of the chain, it's easier to go, it's like, okay, well, I mean, that'll be fixed later. So if if a composition is at the end, chances are a lot of that's going to have piled up, and it's like, Maybe some of this should have been looked at a little sooner.
I'm trying to think, for anyone listening, what projects that you've worked on can be checked out right now. We'll censor anything that's NDA'd. But, I mean, your first thing was Agony Ant.
Mm-hmm.
I guess technically that wasn't a Studio Mala project in the same way everything else was because that was kind of made before the studio was... properly established. That's obviously where we first worked together, which was great.
Yeah.
That's where we met. Then I'm not sure what the first thing after that was, though.
We had a quick, I mean, we had a quick look at the logo. I remember that.
Oh, you then did? That's a good point. So anytime you see the logo animation for Studio Mala, you did the compositing in that, like the little glitchy effects and all that stuff. That was you. Wow, yeah. And when you like, before you joined us on Agony Ant, had you been working in compositing before that?
Well, in college, I did my everything in comp, basically, because... You know, like, that's how it happened for me. It was like, I was animating and everything. I was doing backgrounds, designing. But then I kind of fell into comp because we needed it, right? Someone's got to do it. So I was like, oh, I have the, After Effects, so I'll do it. So did it. And then I did it for two more projects. And then we did another one. Then I ended up doing my grad film in it.
So it just became okay, I guess I have to do this every time.
I really enjoyed it, so I decided to focus on it, and that's when we did Agony Ant.
So, like, just to give people context, Agony Ant was through a kind of program that Stephen Fagan set up, which is called Animation Studio Lab, and it was kind of a course where a director would come on, that was me, and the whole team would be made up of recent graduate students who just want to work on a film. But it was a funny project to work on because I had such specific directions for the look of it. I think, like, a lot of that stuff ended up being stuff you still do by default in Studio Mala, obviously, because it's just my style for how I want things to look. I guess one of those, you know, simple things, like, I always like having, like, drop shadow, you know, under the line work. I think whenever, like, I gave, like, any directions or whenever we worked together on stuff, it was usually to make stuff look a bit dirtier than it did.
Yeah, already. You're right. Yeah.
Just make it look, like, make it look less good. Just, I don't know.
Just dip the whole thing in tea.
Yeah, so it doesn't look too computery.
So is there any aspect of compositing that can be the most, like, frustrating thing more than anything else in the job? Like, one I can always think of is just export times. That seems to be the common one.
Yeah, the export times can take quite a while, especially if you're, you know, you're under pressure because you have a deadline, because that's the thing with compositing. The deadline is harder to move for us. You know, everyone else can maybe get more time.
Yeah.
You know, for us, it's like, oh, this is the deadline. So if you're, like, trying to deliver stuff and then your rendering is, like, not cooperating.
Yeah.
Can be quite stressful. You know, you're like, oh my god, you know. The other thing would be you have to have everything very well organized at the start before you start. You know, everything has to be labeled and all that properly, because it's fine if you only have a few shots, but if you have, like, hundreds of shots, if they're not labeled properly, you know, you start getting lost, really. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, where is this? So you, as a comper, you have to also be organized, but then, of course, the people before you as well, which it's been great. Everyone has been.
It's okay. You can tell. You can say. You can tell people they've not named their files correctly. It's a safe space.
No, they have. It's just, it's a thing that could happen, and so, you know.
You can't name it all 1.png. not every single file.
Right? It's like this one.
All right. Do you see a lot of project one, project 1.1, project 1.0, project 0.0.1? Do you see a lot of that coming in?
Thankfully in Studio Mala, no.
Thank God.
No, we don't
well,
get
but
that.
Like,
yeah,
I think because it was a learning thing for us as well. I mean, you've been with us since we were, like, a tiny studio with, you know, just a few of us. So, like, you know, the thing about waiting for exports and deadlines is a thing that gets better as we get a bit more robust as a studio, because we can actually plan for the time a bit better. But, like, definitely at the start when we were getting projects with, like, 2-week turnarounds, and I'm making some ridiculous assumptions of being like, yeah, Olga can just export all that. Like, she'll finish the compositing at 3 and then export the entire film in an hour. And I'm like, oh, right, that doesn't make sense.
True. So yeah, we learned a lot.
We had to actually adjust to that. But, like, we definitely had days as well where we were not organizing our stuff properly. And, like, that was only a detriment to Olga. Like, it's our comp team that would suffer because of that. So obviously we had to.
It's something that students will not like to hear. No one will get enthusiastic about it, but it does seem like something that in colleges or whatever, like in animation schools, like an important thing that should be, well, at least strongly encouraged, if not properly taught, organizing your files. Like it's easy to say, like, don't forget to name it this, but like if you are learning to be a part of a team, a production line, that's definitely because you know, you're either going to learn it there or you're going to learn it when someone smacks you at the back of the head and says, why the hell did you send me 30 files named AskKJ LK1111?
Oh god. yeah. Oh, I'm picturing that.
It'll like, because it's a lesson that will be learned at some point, so they might as well learn it at the start. I think
I need to dig up my old college folders where I did do that. I need the save as window to go away, so I'm just going to mash my keyboard and press enter.
And now look at you running a studio.
And I'm still doing it. I'm not still doing it.
That's how they got the studio name. Mala was just
into the keyboard.
He smashed.
Yeah.
That's funny.
We should rename the studio to Mala_final_final.
Final.
This one.
I do find myself typing things like, if I've exported the same thing, like if I'm on my fifth one and there's some problem, I'd name it like, please work. Like, please work 2. Please God, work 3. All my prayers go into the file names.
Like in comp, we have to sometimes, we have so many versions, but you have to be consistent. You know, you have to be like, version 1, version 2, version 1ABCD. Yeah. You know? Because the client could suddenly be like, ooh, I really like 1D. And then, you know, you have to find it. So, you know,
what's the, better be labeled. I'm trying to think. What's the highest version number you've ever seen on a shot?
I think maybe 12.
Okay. That's bad, but it's not as bad as I thought it might be. I'm preparing myself for 20 something. But that's good. Okay.
No.
Just think,
we haven't reached the 20s.
When they uploaded that mummy trailer without the right audio, they uploaded version 11 instead of 12. And I mean, come on, they couldn't have labeled that more clearly.
It should have been 12. This one.
Oh yeah, like, oh, you uploaded mummy trailer final. You should have uploaded mummy trailer final 2.
Exactly.
I was hoping to get from you, Olga, some, because we've got a lot of people who are getting into compositing, have no idea what they're doing. A few just not even pro tips, just basic things that might save them, or even things that you wish you knew.
Yeah. So I'd say stuff like, I know it's a bit of a pain, but learn your shortcuts because they'll save you a lot of time. Like when I started off in comp, I was doing everything the long way where you could just use the shortcut.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you quickly learn those, it really saves a lot of time. It's worth it, I promise, because, you know, the other way is horrible. And then make sure, like, on the left side, when you kind of, you can bring things into the After Effects or whichever program you're using. Just, if you keep it neat, it really saves you time, even though you have to set it up the first time, but then you can always copy it, the template or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Because if you drop everything on the same one, it's going to be harder to look through it. If you have, like, let's say, backgrounds, characters or something, it'll make everything much neater, especially if you have tons of files to be looking at. And then I'd say for cameras, this is a thing I learned as well through trial and error. It's best, let's say if you have to do a camera move, I'd say don't move the scene itself, like don't move the background, like make a camera. I know at first it's it seems really scary making a 3D camera, but it really saves you time later if you have to change anything, because having to keyframe a background to make a camera move becomes horrible later on. Yeah.
That's one that I, the first time I discovered it was an option, kind of blew my mind. Yeah. TV Paint doesn't have a 3D camera, but you know, stuff like Toon Boom and After Effects does, and it makes you look at your work so differently, because you start picturing your work the way it should have been pictured, like traditionally, like it's a camera being held over, you know, a piece of paper, and you're just moving that around.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not moving the actual elements. Yeah, and it might seem a bit scary. Like at first, you know, the first few times you're like, oh my gosh, you know. Yeah. Because looking back, I was like, my God, I spent hours on, you know, doing it the wrong way. Like if I look back, I don't know, like 5 years.
I wonder, Owen, is it time for Olga to try pulling an oblique strategy card?
I'm picking up the box.
By the way, for anyone listening, or should we? We're all in the same room. Are we trying to give the illusion that we're in the same room? Here you go, Olga.
Ooh, I take it. Roleplay.
Sean, I am touching your nose, but I don't. Ow. Why would I say?
Because you're touching it. I said ow for some reason. Like,
ow. Oh well, I do have a thumbtack at the end of my finger, as you can see. Oh my god. As you can see, what I'm holding that up for you to see.
I see that now. Thank you very much.
So, Olga,
what color is it?
If you would care to take one of these cards from the deck of cards that I am holding up in front of your face right now.
Okay, I take one.
I'm holding that card up in front of the both of you now, so you can see that. What do you think about those words?
What does that say?
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know.
you guys don't have your glasses on. I'll just read it out. It says, accept advice.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, that's Brian, generally... you know, that's just like, I didn't think about that one too hard.
True. Oh, the next card says, drink water.
Oh. That's also true. Stay hydrated. Yeah, I think it's about accepting advice. I think that's a huge part of comp. You're trying to get the final product the way that the director wants and the client, and also, you know, have all the work look the best possible so that everyone's work that they put into it, you know, shows through. So you definitely have to take all your feedback and not be, you know, upset or anything about it. You know, I think that's a huge, very important part. Like if anyone wants to be a comper, you're going to go through many, many versions. And what matters is the last version, really, you know, the one that gets accepted. So, you know, it's very important to be able to take feedback in comp.
Is there any, like, I guess it depends on the project, but you mentioned compositing kind of ultimately being about what the director's looking for, what the client's looking for. Do you find that in comp there's still a level of being able to kind of add your own twist or add your own kind of amount of expression to a shot, or does that depend on like the project itself? Like, is some stuff very rigid and some stuff is a bit more
So for Studio Mala, it has been, you know, I've been able to be quite creative, so I can add my own input as well. So that's been really good. I'd say even in the rigid ones, you could still add your own touch. Most, like, some directors are open for that as well. Like, they'll appreciate you going the extra mile and trying things out.
Yeah, that's good.
So
as
you
long
know,
as they're not giving you notes, like, do something here. Just do something.
Yeah, where they're not very specific.
Make this more gooder.
I was hoping for a gooder product.
Where's the good? Yeah, it's the good button.
Yeah, that's the good button.
I'm not seeing the good I asked for.
I'd say like in comp, it's still a very creative. The way I see it, like I find it very fulfilling. Really, like it's super creative. Like I see it that you're also kind of designing, really, you know, like you have to approach it. Well, I approach it from a narrator's point of view. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it makes it much more fun. Like, you feel like, you know, you're contributing your own piece to
it. Well, it's probably a huge benefit because you mentioned that on your college films, you kind of had a hand on every kind of aspect of it. And it's kind of good that you know where everything's coming from. Like, there's not really any department that you don't get or you don't know how it's done.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's exactly, actually quite unique with comp, in that you probably see an aspect of every other department or communicate with everything on some level. You know, even at an animatic stage, mm-hmm. or storyboard stage, you know, you might look at storyboards so you can kind of foresee something that might be troublesome in comp, or even something where you can, before an animator starts, say, you know what, we can save the animator a bit of work because we could do this thing in comp. So even as far as storyboards, it seems like you're probably learning and getting advice from every stage of production more than maybe any other department does.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, we see a lot. Yeah, all the stages.
Yeah.
We get to see all the work and then put it together. So, yeah, you learn a lot really in comp, even, as you said, from the other departments, which is cool because then you could always apply it into your own film or something.
Is there any other aspect of, like, an animation pipeline? Not even necessarily just what we do at Studio Mala, but in any kind of animation. Is there any other aspect of animation that you have interest in, or you think, oh, I'd love to try that or do a bit, spend more time on that?
Well, I love design. Design is like, because I, you know, when I directed, I did the character design and, you know, development, like visual development. Yeah, like, and I really love comp as well. So I think those are my favorites.
Okay, that's funny because it's like basically the very first thing and the very last thing. Everything in between.
Exactly.
Yeah, although everyone else can handle that. that's nice. It would be interesting to, like, it would be an interesting thing for you to try and, yeah, find a project where you can do some character design at the start. Go off for a while.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Work on something else, then come back and composite your own designs.
You're like, oh, it's my character.
You're alive.
Yeah, that would be so fun.
It's one aspect of an animation pipeline that I'm, in terms of doing it, I'm pretty hopeless at it, and it's something I should work on because, like, I do know a lot of good directors who've had some amount of experience in compositing, and I see what you mean. Like, you're getting a lot of directing experience yourself as well by doing compositing because, you know, you've got an eye on everything, you've got a bit of hand in everything. You kind of learn how to communicate with everyone.
Yeah, and dealing with the client.
Yeah,
and,
like, it's the broad strokes, but it's also the fine details. You know, it's kind of everything. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Comp. Everyone get into compositing.
Everybody comp. Everybody quit all your other departments. Let's only composite things. Oh, well, there's nothing we can composite.
Super fun.
Where'd all the drawings go?
Do we want to do wrap-ups? And Sean, do you want to say a Malad news corner?
I realized when I suggested that to you immediately afterwards that I've got no news, and it's more of a future tense. If there's ever news,
if there's ever news, there'll be a Malad news corner.
Yeah,
news beat.
Yeah. I think for now we'll do a regular wrap-up.
So for now we'll just do one of our regular really good wrap-ups. Olga, thank you very much for coming here in person to this table where we're all sitting around today to teach us dummies about composition, compositing.
You said that wrong. We didn't learn anything.
Well, I've not learned anything. Will you come back and teach us more?
Oh, I might. I love talking about it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. And look forward to, for the audience, look forward to more compositing from Olga and her mini that she'll eventually make.
It's been great. Thank you so much.
I guess, do we just say bye now? Is it bye?
Sean, do you want to do some machine gun noises? And
goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Check
out Studio Mala.
No.
Check us out on the socials.
I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Studio Mala.
TikTok.